Welcome to another inspirational message from Dave and Jenny Gilpin. Dave and Jenny are the senior pastors of Hope City Church. For any more information or for any other resources, visit davegilpin.com.
Gosh, well, we almost shed a tear when Eloise said that this is the last time she was doing church news in this season of her life. And we have loved Eloise just so, so much. She's been my PA for the last 2 years. And I've never known anyone who'll be so missed, like Eloise Edwards will be missed. And she goes on Wednesday, but we've got a sneaky feeling that this is not the end of our relationship with Eloise, and a sneaky feeling that it's not the end of her relationship with us at Hope City Church. And I would say Eloise has just brought in faith and brought in family and brought in a whole lot of fun. And she's turned turned this ship into a ship in family waters. And you know, I've made some great discoveries and built some incredible relationships in the last year or so, in the last 6 months, because Eloise has just changed the ship and just changed my mindset in the value of family. And I want to talk about it. I don't know if on the screen the word homes come up. But it's somehow we've turned this place from a house to a home. And if you don't realize it, then maybe that's why I'm preaching. Maybe that's why I'm preaching to you today, because Jen feels it, I feel it, that it was a house. And a house is just where people live. You know, you can have a uni house, a student house, and no one knows each other. You know, everyone eats their separate cans of baked beans, has their own cheap loaf of bread, but nobody knows each other. That's a house. But a home is completely different. And I think God's setting us up for the great days ahead and the great years ahead. And when Hope City Church Sheffield just rockets its way into being one of the most significant churches in the country. But for us to do that, there's got to be more than just a bunch of strangers sitting together in church. This has to move from house to home. And I want to welcome you home. I want to welcome you into the home called Hope City Church. That's not just a temple. It's not just an institution. It's not just a place where people get trained. This is a family. This is a family together. And as Becky said today, you know, that God's got a half of families. He adopted us into his family. And this is meant to be one big family. And there's a big difference between a house and a home. And I've written out some differences, even though I probably don't need my notes this morning, but it'll get me a little bit organized, right? So A home is where you're actually valued. I'm just going to stare at you while I'm sharing this, because I want to impart something to you. Where you're actually valued, where you're loved not for what you do, but you're loved for who you are. It's full of unconditional love. It's saturated with love, acceptance, and forgiveness. And it's where we love your curves, your edges, and your imperfections. Like, somebody's got to love your imperfections. And if this church, for it to be a family, for it to be home, it's gonna be filled with acceptance. It's gonna be filled with accepting just the way you are, just who you are. For us to ever take you on a journey, we firstly got to dock ourselves where you're docked. We firstly got to find the address where you're at. We've just got to love you, warts and all. We've got to love you, edges and all. And that's what home is. It's not performance-based. Home is completely and utterly heart-based. And that's what God's creating within this place. Secondly, a home is where every change you make, every gain, every conquest, every step is celebrated beyond belief. It's where we can't stop talking about you. So whatever breakthrough you have, whatever little step you have in redeeming a relationship, whatever little breakthrough you have in your health and your healing, whatever little breakthrough you have within your finance, our back pockets are filled with party poppers. Because that's what family is. That's what home is, that we are so invested in your life that we don't just ignore small comments. Because when you realize that even big miracles are just 1,000 little miracles put together. And we're not here to ignore just the single step. We're not here to ignore just the single heartbeat that got you to the next heartbeat, the hammer that you put all your energies and finally the rock broke, but it was the strike that we celebrated. that help break through your life. That's what home's about. You don't need to do that in a house or in a student accommodation, but you've got to do that in a home. We need to celebrate every little change, everything that goes on within your lives. Social media is an incredible servant to us to bless people day and night with 1,000 texts a day, with 1,000 Instagrams a day, and there's work to be done for sure, but you know, it's that we're here to be family with each other and not to ignore the small steps that we make. Home is number 3, is where we believe that the best of you will become the best of you. That we can see the gold amongst the rock. That's what home's about. That when you're having a bad day, we can see the good day in you. You know, that when you're displaying your weaknesses, we can see God's strength invested upon your weaknesses, that we can see inside you. That's what home's about. That's what family's about. That when you look at each other, you see inside them. You see what they will be, not just what they are. That you've got the eyes of faith. You actually believe in them. That's what family is. That's what we're trying to create in Hope City Church. That's what it's all about. That we're trying to create a hit factory. We're trying to see the genius inside each one of you. That's what home's about. That's what Hope City Church needs to turn into. Not just a bunch of silent people, a bunch of very noisy people that are celebrating each other, that are believing in each other, that are accepting each other, that are forgiving each other. That's home. And I'm turning from warship into ocean liner. I'm turning from house, the house of God, to the home of God. That we're creating homeliness. And homeliness is the greatest strength. It's what you desire. It's what you ache, what you pang for. And it becomes the greatest strength of your life is the strength of home, the strength of family. Number 4, home is where if you're talking to mom, dad's listening in the background. You know, home is where you don't need to absolutely know everybody without, and to know everybody. This home is a connected place. That you don't have to sit here and think, well, there's too many people in this church. There's not too many people in this church because you don't need to know everybody in this church. Like, I'll give you an example, right? I don't know Simon and Claire Parkinson. Parko. But I do know them because I know everybody who knows them. That they keep showing up on Instagram. I know them because my friends know them. And that's good enough for me because that's what family's about. That's how families operate. You don't need to talk to your sister as long as you talk to your brother. You don't need to talk to your mom as long as you talk to your dad because it's a connected place. That as long as you've got some connection, as long as you're part of some connect group, as long as you've got something, you instantly, because this is family, you instantly become connected to everybody. You never need to, when this church is 1,000 strong, you won't need to know everybody, but you'll feel like you know everybody. Because they'll know something about you because you've been talking to mum, so dad's been listening in the background, and dad's been talking to your uncle, and your uncle's been talking to his. And it's just, that's the way family operates. That's the type of spirit that's coming into Hope City Church. And number 5 is home is where we celebrate our differences. That we don't want everybody the same. I'm going to stick on this point. I'm not doing a U-turn here. I'm going to stick on this point. Home is where we celebrate our differences. And you know, you spend your life complaining about your differences. And yet surely home is where we celebrate it. Surely that's what makes this place interesting. That's what makes this place good. It's because we're not just replicas of everybody else. We're actually complementary to everybody else. We're actually, that's why God's brought us together. Because we're simply not the same. You know, I've said about Eloise, there's nobody like her. People say that about me. There's nobody like me. And you know, I think, oh, I wish that I was the same as everybody. Well, in one way I don't. Well, I'm celebrating the fact that I'm different. You know, whenever I preach out from this church, you know, I always take my rifle. Well, it's a bad example. I'm going to stop that example, right? That I'm always somebody who's taken down sacred cows. I'm always somebody who's cheekily standing against the spirit of religion because I'm called to do it. you know, I'm called to bring down sacred cows. That's what I'm called to do. I love every minute of it. There's very few people like me. I'm a melancholic 75%. I wrap myself up in sanguine so I'm approachable. And I'm just loving every minute. You need to celebrate your differences and stop complaining about your differences, because this needs to be a place where we celebrate the fact we're different. That's what family's about. A spirit of acceptance, a spirit of celebration. And if you're weird, you're gorgeously weird. You know, just if there's something about you that's quirky, it's a brilliant quirkiness. Welcome to the family, because you've always got a quirky uncle in every family, and you can be our quirky uncle. And if you can't find someone, I'll be it, you know, because that's what family's about. I'm going to stick on this point, right? And you know, I could divide every one of you. If you're brand new here this morning, you're not going to understand this, but 50% of the people here this morning are what I call presence people, presence. And 50% of the people are what I call word people. Now, you're not going to get this, but some people, it makes it hard for us to do a church service that everybody likes. Because 50% of the people want the worship to go on a bit longer, and they're like a prophecy from Leah Chilengwe. They'd like Jenny Gilpin to lay hands on them. They just like some carpet time. They just like to soak in the presence of God. Because 50% of you just love the presence of God. You just love hanging around. You just love chillaxing. That's who you are. You're just saying, hey, chill, man, because you're so chill, because that's where you live, in a place called chilled. So when it comes to God, you just love the presence of God. You love the movements and you love the flow of the Holy Spirit. But that's not everybody in the room. Some people want a deeper word. They want me to have come up with about 10 scriptures already at the beginning of the message, because you're word people, because you just love the Word of God and you love getting stuff out of the Word of God. And you're thinking, I'm not so keen on all this spirit stuff. I just want to be functional. I just want to get down to what God is saying. I just want to be a little bit more direct with this, and I want to be a study of the Word. I just want to love the Word. 50% of you are presence people. 50% of you are word people. Someone once described it as 50% are Isaiah 55 people and 55% are Joel 2 people. Now, here comes the scripture. I'm just putting this up just for the Isaiah 55 people. The Joel 2 people don't care about this. Isaiah 55 says, as the rain and the snow comes down from heaven, so is my word that comes out of my mouth. It'll not return to me empty, but will accomplish that for which I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. So that's the word, people. Wow, the word of God is living and active. The word of God's like a two-edged sword. The word of God sustains, builds. The word of God always comes true when planted in a heart of faith. Just, there are Isaiah 55 people here right now who absolutely love the Word of God. Can you say a quick amen? Yeah, because you're here this morning. But not everybody's like you. You could end up in a church where they preach for an hour and they give the most deepest scriptures, but it might not become home to you. Because you'll be in a place where everybody's like you. But home is where everybody's not like you. Home is where we're kind of different to each other. And the difference is what makes home. Even when twins arrive, they might look similar, but they've got different personality. And that's what makes a home, that no child you have is the same as the other child that you've got. But there's something incredibly beautiful about diversity, which is what God's trying to create in Hope City Church. Joel 2, 28, 29 says, and afterwards I'll pour out my spirit. Straight when I say that, a lot of people get excited about it, you know. You're the revival people. Wow, can't wait for revival. Just can't wait for God to pour out His Spirit. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Wow, you're thinking now they were good days. They weren't, but I'll go with you, right? Your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions. And even on my servants, both men and women, I'll pour out my Spirit in those days. You know, some of you just love that. You just want to just be engrossed in the Spirit of God. But see, that's what makes us so beautiful, because we've got spirit people next to word people. And the problem down the generations is all the spirit people get together and they go and visit a place And then they form a church out of the place, and all the word people get together and they form a word church. Somebody once said that if you just build your life on the word of God, you'll dry up. If you build your life on the Spirit of God, you'll blow up. But if you build your life on word and spirit, you'll grow up. But you don't need to be all things to all men. You don't need to be both word and spirit, because that's your problem, is you're trying to be everything. And in trying to be middle ground, you miss out on the eccentricities and the uniqueness of why you were brought to the kingdom. In the first place, you're brought because you're unique. You're brought because you see things differently. And all you need to do is join a family and link hands with somebody who sees it differently than you. Keep a clean spirit, a right spirit. And what have we got? Hey, presto, we've got ourselves a home. But you've got to just draw a circle and you've got to around yourself and celebrate the difference. If you're a spirit person, you want to rejoice. Never become arrogant. That's all about the spirit. Because it's not. Even the word of God is the sword of the spirit, is the word of God. So never become arrogant if you're a word person that you know deeper truths than everybody else and you've studied the history of Israel and you send money to Israel today. So never get arrogant about what you've experienced from the word of God, because there is no arrogance in the kingdom of God. It's filled with contriteness. It's filled with humility. And contriteness and humility and difference is what creates great family. And that's why God's put us together. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, it says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up in him who is the head, that is Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its share. Well, each part's so different. All the body parts are different. All the ligaments are different. As each part does its share, as you magnify your difference, as you contribute to the greater good of the body, this thing doesn't blow up. This thing doesn't dry up. This thing grows up. And that's what we need to become an incredible church, to become a nation-changing church. We just need to grow up a little bit and stop hiding our weaknesses and stop being arrogant about what we think is true. And we need to hold hands with each other and realize that together we've got the whole picture, and together is why God's brought us here. It's not a same-ish thing, it's a difference thing. And it begins with you and me celebrating the differences that we have. And you know, a lot of it's not a revelation thing. A lot of it's purely a personality thing. That if you're more, listen, there's four different personality types. Choleric, you're lion-spirited. Your catchphrase is, let's do it now. Sanguine, Eloise Edwards, you know, let's have fun doing it. And, you know, you're more a party person, a social person. A melancholic is quieter, and it's more, let's do this thing right. And then a sanguine says, is more a peaceful spirit and says, let me help you do it. So when it comes to, our orientation to the word or to the spirit, a lot of it's just personality led. That if you've got a choleric spirit, you just want to get straight down to it. You don't want a carpet time. You don't want time soaking in the presence. You just want the answer. Give me the answer. You know, that's why you've often got a temper problem, because you're impatient, because you just want the answer. So often if you're choleric, if you're melancholic, you're naturally driven toward the word of God, because you're just wanting God to speak to you all the time, and you're wanting prophecies, and you're delving deep into the word of God. So if you're choleric, melancholic, you're going to generally be more a word person. But if you're sanguine, wow, you just love hanging around. If you're phlegmatic, you just love hanging around. So if you're sanguine or phlegmatic, you're likely to become a spirit person. You're likely to become a presence person. And sometimes you can think, well, you know, if you're a word person, wow, I just need to become more a spirit person. And if you're a spirit person, I need to become more a word person. No, you need to strengthen your strengths. And you need to become who God's called you to be. And if you're a presence person, what are you doing outside of the presence of God? You know, if you're a word person, what are you doing not getting into the word of God? Why don't you be you? Come on, hope see. Why don't you be you, and why don't I be me, and why don't together we can be us, and us can be an ocean liner discovering new Americas on the adventure of faith. Why don't you just get into you? You know, the amount of times I have a quiet time and I'm reading the word and the devil says you ought to be praying. And then I'm praying and the devil says you ought to be reading the word. You know, and then you end up doing nothing well. You need to have a conviction that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. There's a uniqueness about your life that God's put together. And if you maximize that and bring the genius out in who you are, then this place is going to turn from house to home. We need to celebrate that about it, but you need to start celebrating that about yourself even right now. You need to start celebrating that God has made you different. And because God's made you different, He's going to speak to you all completely differently. And this has been a growth area in my life because I'm married just to someone who's just so spiritual. And, you know, when we have quiet times, I hear her mumbling away and speaking away, and I'm thinking, sometimes I sneaked up, put my ear to the door, thinking, what's going on in that room, you know? And it's Jenny Gilpin having a relationship with her Father God. And sometimes I thought, oh, my relationship's so dumb compared to her relationship, you know? She comes out with scrolls of notes, papyrus paper, you know, just, you know, you know, a couple of tablets, you know, stone, you know, coming down from around. And, you know, and I've just sort of got one word, you know, just God. You know, and but see, God does what? God speaks to us differently. There's a guy called Gary Chapman, 1995, wrote a book called Love Languages, The Five Love Languages, that he adopted immediately toward marriage and has caused tension in marriages ever since. His love languages, this is what his love language, he outlined five love languages. Number one, words of affirmation. And words of affirmation. Number two, he outlined acts of service. Number three, quality time. Number four, physical touch. And number five, receiving gifts. And so he's put these love languages and he's put them in the context of marriage. That because we all speak different languages because we're quite different together. And he's saying you ought to learn somebody else's love language. And it causes a hassle in marriage, right? Because even when they learn a second language, it's like somebody who's just straight off the boat from Italy trying to speak English. It's just very, very awkward and creates a lot of tension. But let me suggest to you that each of those five languages were designed by God for God to speak to you. So that when God speaks to you, He speaks to you according to your love language because God knows how different you actually are. So if, and I'll outline how God does it, but if you're more choleric, if you're more lion-spirited, then generally your love language will be around acts of service. You love people doing stuff for you. If you're more melancholic, generally your love language will be words of affirmation. You're constantly looking for words of affirmation. If you're sanguine, more sanguine, party-spirited, then your love language is going to be physical touch. And if you're phlegmatic, if you're peaceful in spirit, let me help you do it, then your love language is often going to be quality time. And so that automatically says, if I was God and I was trying to love on you, I'd speak in a different way to you than I would to the person sitting next to you, because I'm God. And even though faith comes by hearing a word from God, I'd put it in a capsule of love to break through your spirit into your soul so that I can plant this in the good soil of your heart. So I'd say it in a different way. And, you know, communication is all about not just what you've got to say. It's not just the truth of what you've got to say. It's the way that you say it. And so God takes a lot of time understanding who you are so He can say things in the way that will break through your soul so that He can communicate with you and so that He can love on you better. So if your love language is words of affirmation, God will often lead you in your quiet times to Isaiah chapter 40 onwards, the Psalms, Proverbs, and sometimes the book of Job. Because you're looking for affirmation. And for people that are more melancholic, you know, people who are more looking for words of comfort, words of edification, words of support, then often you find them hanging around, not 1st and 2nd Timothy, but hanging around the Psalms. hanging around, not Isaiah chapter 1 to 39, even though chapter 6 is good, but hanging around chapter 40 onwards. They're hanging around the Song of Songs. They're hanging around Proverbs because they're looking for that tender touch of God speaking a word of confirmation and a word of affirmation to them. May I suggest that if you are more melancholic and you are geared toward words of affirmation, may I suggest you dig into the Psalms. Because you're thinking, I know nothing about end times. May I suggest, forget end times. He's coming back. That's all you need to know. That you can think, well, I need to be deeper. I need to get a study on the book of Revelation. Stay away from Revelation. Get deeper into the Psalms. Get deeper into the words that God spoke through Isaiah. Get deeper into the Song of Songs. Just get deeper into God's love language for you. Stop trying to copy somebody else's relationship with God. Stop trying to be deep if you're shallow. Stop trying to be shallow if you're deep. Just be the person that God's called you to be. If your love language is acts of service, so if you're more choleric in nature, God will often do stuff that's perfect. He'll put people across your path. He'll let shops be open when they should be closed. He'll give you a huge discount. He'll give you freebies instead of paying full price. The sale will be on just when you're going past exactly the right time. You'll find a book in a library of 5,000 books and you're standing right next to the right book. That's acts of service. That if you're choleric, that means everything to you. It's not just your husband building a shed for you. It's not just your husband putting the rubbish out. Oh, I love acts of service. No, you're going to get frustrated because men don't do jobs. They do visions. If it's not part of his vision, he's always going to do it badly. If he's got a vision for the shed, it'll be built next week. If he has no vision, you'll be nagging. He doesn't like nagging. But you know, your love language is more fulfilled through God speaking to you, through God doing miracles that are positional, that speak a lot to people that are choleric. If you're sanguine and your love language is physical touch, often God will want to touch you with his spirit, that he might want to zap you on a regular basis. He might want to heal you on a regular basis, relieve you. He might want to deliver you. He certainly want to fill you. He certainly want to ignite you. That when you meet somebody who's sanguine, who's really getting into physical touch and really getting into the touch of the Spirit of God, wow, it's attractive. They're just getting into their groove. They're getting into, they've got a vibe. And I absolutely love that. But a lot of people that are born for it never really listen to the Spirit of God and never really take notice that God's trying to get into their little world with his amazing spirit through the language of touch. And then the rest of us think, well, we ought to be touched by God every single week. And then we move out of our love language of words of affirmation and we stop digging into Psalms and we start lying on the floor saying, God, touch me. Well, may I suggest that we celebrate our differences and we stop peering over each other's shoulders and we realize that we're fearfully and wonderfully made and God has put us together like a jigsaw puzzle. And whoever who you are, celebrate it because we need you and you need us. That's an opportunity for a little clap offering that so I can see where I'm up to. If your love language is quality time, if you're more phlegmatic, often God will surround you with a sense of his presence. He'll just surround you with a sense that God is here, with a sense of comfort, a sense of stilling, a sense of his peace. And you know, sometimes his peace can come like the change in cabin pressure in an airplane. It can just, oh, there it is. And phlegmatic people, they should be very attuned to the peace of God, very attuned to the presence of God, very attuned to God being here, God being with me. And that fulfills you. That's God's love language to you, just to sense his peace. That's it. It's not dramatic. Stop looking for drama. Stop being a drama queen. When you're born for peace, maximize your peacefulness and allow God to still you. Don't dive deeply into Psalms. Don't dive deeply into 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Just allow God to still you. Be a stiller. of the world. And when I meet somebody who's maximizing their quality time with God, wow, it's absolutely stunning. It's incredible. It enriches me. And together we become not a house, but together we become a home because we're celebrating our differences. And if your love language is presence, it could be any personality type. And presents are often little signs, little wonders, little parking spots that become available. The right concert tickets for the right time, right pair of shoes, right little miracles that act as a sign of love rather than a miracle of necessity. And so there are miracles that we all need that are necessary miracles. But there's a lot of stuff that God does that's completely unnecessary. You know, I've shared this before. I remember when I met Jen, that just before I met her, that she was looking for a parking spot in the middle of Brisbane. She felt the Spirit of God say, go into this particular NCP type car park. And so she went in expecting to get the ticket out. The bar went up with no ticket coming out. Bar went down again, and then she saw the manager. He said, well, you can get in for free. Just, she could have parked 100 yards away. There's plenty of parking spots up the hill. But God decided to do a little miracle. Was it necessary? No. Was it a portal hole into a God who's active, who never sleeps, to give her a present and a sense that God is working on her behalf day and night? Yes, it is. And sometimes you can miss the smaller presence of God because you're too desperate for the absolute miracles from God. And you know, God's speaking to you day and night, but he's speaking in your language. And your first language is God's first language. Now, I'm raving now. I'm going to continue to rave to the end of the message, okay? In Acts chapter 2, verse 22, it talks about three ways that God affirms his love through Jesus. It said, men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth, a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did amongst you through him, as you yourselves know. So God did miracles, he did wonders, and he did signs. So it's just very interesting that God doesn't just do miracles. That God does miracles, he doesn't just do miracles and wonders. He does miracles, wonders, and signs. This is God affirming himself through Jesus Christ. Now it's all miraculous. It's all supernatural, but it's divided up into miracles, wonders, and signs. So I've divided it up for you. That God did miracles like the healing of the blind and the lame. God did wonders like Jesus walking on water, Jesus being transfigured on the mountain with Moses and Elijah, Jesus appearing with the men on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus did signs like him riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, fulfilling 500 years of prophecy. That he said, we need to pay our taxes. So I said, go fishing, and the first fish you catch will have a coin in its mouth, and you'll be able to pay the taxes of all 13 of us with the value of the coin in the fish's mouth. That's a positional miracle. Einstein once said, you can live life in two ways. One is if nothing's a miracle, and secondly is if everything's a miracle. And what Jesus was outlining, the Word of God was outlining, that some miracles are miracles of encounter, some are miracles of coincidence. Some are positional miracles, while others are provisional miracles. But everything is a miracle. And when it comes to your life, sometimes we can be paralyzed by the big miracles that we're looking for, the huge healings that we're looking for, the huge breakthroughs that we're looking for. And yet in our lives, God's doing signs and wonders in our lives that we can miss on our road to miracles. And I'm speaking to you right now because my love language, if I had a choice between a God encounter and a God incidence, I veer to a God incidence. So, I had to run that by Jen, saying, Jen, am I demeaning healing here? Am I demeaning people's need for a miracle encounter? She said, no, you're just explaining to them just how you work. That to me, divine coincidences are just the bomb. They are just, and I'm going to read out a few, right, in a messy sermon today, but I'm just going to read out a few to you just to show you that if someone says they've been healed, I am absolutely thrilled. And we've been looking for that healing. I've been a part of praying for that healing, right? But you know, just say a year ago, somebody got healed. I completely value that. But if a year ago somebody had a divine coincidence, I remember the coincidence more than I do the healing. And that's because my love language is acts of service. Now, I'm not looking for Jen to serve me. I serve her. But God's pulling stuff together, work going before me and after me, working things in a very divine way so that when I turn up, something's happened. I'll give you an example. Jen and I bought somebody in this room a birthday present, and the birthday present was from a company that had a label on it, right? It was a company established in exactly the same year that their birthday was. And so they said, thank you so much. And on the label was not just the name of the company, but the year it was established. And they thought, Dave, you are amazing that you found out what year and you went and found the companies that were established in that year. No. This is a divine miracle. This is a love language of acts of service. And so they were blessed by it because their love language might be presents or acts of service themselves. But I was blessed by it because my love language is acts of service. So I find when I really open my eyes that God is doing miracles every day for me because He knows the way I'm wired. He knows who I am. And even though I'm longing for encounters with the Holy Spirit, I get even greater joy from coincidences of the Holy Spirit, where God puts two things together that could only be God, because the chances of it would be 1,000,000 to 1. Let me wind this down. Let me tell you a few miracles. I've got permission to share this one from Jen, but she's in the next service, and some of you know she's just had a hip operation. And sometimes when people have hip operations, sometimes they get worried that the legs are going to be different lengths. And so Jen, you know, she rang me up. This is 2 weeks ago, and she was crying her eyes out, and she was saying, my legs are so different in length. She's bawling her eyes out. You know, and she said, I've been on the internet and it seems to me that your legs can be so different in length that sometimes you need to wear special shoes. So then she's investigating special shoes on Google. Google's both good and bad. And so she's crying away and she's thinking, this is, she's thinking, I can't wear my shoes again. That's what she's thinking. And if you know Jen, she loves handbags. And she loves shoes. She loves shoes. So she's devastated. I'll tell you why she's devastated. It's not for a lack of healing. It's because God's love language to her is shoes. See, let me pause there, right? You think everything God does has to be heavy and deep. No, that's why you've missed out on the treasures of heaven. Because God's giving you presence every day. But the presents are incidental. They're just you've missed out on portal hole after portal hole of seeing that God never sleeps nor slumbers. That God actually loves you because you're dismissing the presence of God because you think of what I need is a touch from God. No. You need to get into who you actually are and get into the fact that not everything that God does is essential, but not everything I do in love for Jen is essential. But every little thing I do, if you add it together, it's essential. And this is God communicating. Anyway, here's the miracle, right? That she gets a phone call from Jane Evans, who's speaking at Shear's conference in February. And Jane said, I don't know why I'm phoning. I know you've had an operation. I don't know why you're phoning. And she said, Jane, I'm in tears, right? Because my legs, I think, are a different length, right? Jane said, tell me no more. It's because you can't wear your shoes. She said, how do you know that? Jane said, because my mum had a hip operation not that long ago. And she was crying her eyes out. And I came home and found her crying her eyes out. So we booked a doctor's appointment and I drove her to the doctor's. And the doctor said to her, everything will be okay. And now she's improved, everything's okay. I've got to say, that's a love language. That's a love language of words of affirmation, a love language of acts of service, and a love language of presence, all wrapped up with a bow on it. See, this is God. This is God. I remember Glenn Barrett, who's running Audacious Church in Manchester, who when I asked him to be my assistant minister, like how many years ago, 20 years ago, that he flew out here, hopped on board the plane, and the plane that he came across from Australia to England was called the Spirit of Sheffield. This is our God. Who cares? It could have said the Spirit of Doncaster.
Oh.
But I said, but it's God's touch. This is your God. The first building that we had, because we're preparing to move to Waverley, in the sale of this building, and we're planning our way to move to a phenomenal location. But the building we had before this building, we had for 3 years. It was in a street called Matilda Street. Now you might think, ah, it's nothing. It's just coincidence. I know that's divine coincidence because I'm talking about it today. That two Aussies, 10,000 miles away from everything familiar, that they find a building in the one street in Sheffield with a name that's totally familiar. It's almost the national anthem, Waltzing Matilda, but it's about a guy committing suicide, so they decided to push it to the side of it. Divine coincidences. See, I just say that to say, well, that's my love language. Took a little team to London, and I was explaining how the London Bridge, the Tower Bridge opens up. You know that it lets ships through, right? The moment we got there, Tower Bridge opened up. See, I don't know about you, but that means the world to me. It means the world to me because that's God speaking to Dave Gilpin. And if he's to fill my soul with his goodness, he's doing it. If he's to accompany faith with a capsule that gets through my soul into my heart, he's doing it. I won't go back to my notes. Let me round this up and say, you need to celebrate your difference. You need to think, this is who I am, and I'm going to be gloriously who I am.